Hey, this is Will Wheaton. You're listening to Radio Brendo Man.
Welcome to another episode of Radio Brendo Man. I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
What's going on, Phil?
Oh, it's a good week.
It's been crazy, man. This is our first episode in over a week because right before we were about to record, I had my near-death experience. I almost carbon monoxide filled my apartment.
And so crazy.
I called you from outside my apartment, don't think, and then I was a little bit sick for a few days.
Yeah, I it's crazy. I mean, I know you were just telling us beforehand that you put your summary on, you talked about it real quick on the last.
Yeah, before thing, I but. Went into the, because we put up a classic episode. I was a little bit late with that, but like I said, I was sick over that weekend, and then I was just really busy. Like, things at work have been completely insane.
But I was like genuinely scared about this. Like, Brennan called me up, and I think you were already affected. Like, the way you were talking, I'm like, dude, you make sure you're okay. Like,
I was I was a little out of it. Well, I had been in here long enough that
I got all these thinking about mortality and stuff, and I'm like, dude, I talked to, I'll skip ahead briefly. I talked to Derek Armijo. He was at the Long Beach Expo.
Oh, Derek
weekend.
Was there?
Yeah, so
oh,
I talked
man.
To him for, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an
he
hour.
He didn't even
something
tell
like that.
Me he was going.
I think he was like a last minute thing. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't have been able to go. I was so busy yesterday.
But we were talking about your incident, and
I think he was really freaked out.
I think so too. But he was jokingly saying, he said, oh, it'd probably be good for your ratings, if something did happen. And of course he was joking. But I was like,
it's true.
Dude, no, I'm useless without Brendan. I wouldn't know how to do anything.
That's true. He wouldn't know how to post the
show. I wouldn't know how to live my life. Seriously. Aww. And so we decided that you need to make some kind of a black box type thing for me.
I actually, I do have some documentation that I've been working on because I'm what if something happens? What if I get really sick?
Seriously.
Danny,
not just for this, for everything.
It's funny. Okay, so I have a password. I've actually changed this since then, because it's bad to have the same password for everything. It's terrible, but right. I used to. And the only person I've ever given it to is Danny. But that's because, he ran the web server, and I'm going to have to give this to him, because in case something happens.
Right.
And
but see, let's say you were gone and something went down. I wouldn't even know how to get a hold of Danny without having your board there,
True. You probably could find him on Facebook.
I probably could, but my point is, I'm useless, though, so.
It's true.
I don't know. I mean, that How I Met Your Mother, where they make the folder, Marshall and Lily make the folders for each other?
Yeah.
My folder for you will be I don't know.
I know your password. You told me your password. I don't know. I didn't tell you mine.
Although some of them have changed since I did get it hacked, so I probably should update you on some of them too.
That's true.
But not live on our show, probably.
Yeah. I can still get into your Hotmail.
Well, yeah. Janelle knows them all too.
So you went to Long Beach Comic Expo. How was that?
Yeah, it was really fun. I only went for a very short time. I was only there
for Outlook, Adam. Thank you for pointing that out.
Oh, yes. Although my email address is still the Hotmail one.
Yeah.
And that's still what I give out because it's on every CD we've ever printed. So as long as they recognize that, I'd rather keep it consistent,
That is a good idea.
So it's cool. I only went for about 2 hours or so because the night before, and we'll talk about this
later. So you drove longer than you were
I did,
there.
Except that Janelle wanted to meet up with some of her friends from her old school.
Okay.
So she hung out with them, and then after the convention was over, I came and we went out and had dinner and stuff like that. So it was all worth it. But
just real quick, I like what Josh put. Phil's philosophy, the co-pilot is just there to hang out, doesn't need to know how to fly.
I'll get you a Coke, make sure I talk to you so you don't fall asleep. I don't need to know what all those things do, right?
I'll get you a Coke. How's it going there, buddy? Doing yeah. good?
All right. Flying the plane still?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's kind of fun.
Well,
good job there.
Okay, so Long Beach, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so it's cool. I mean, so I went there, and I was thinking I was going to go to a panel, but then I wound up meeting up with Topher, and we talked for a long time. Then I met up with Derek Armijo.
Did you just randomly run into Derek?
Like, both of them ran. Well, actually, it's funny. So first I went and talked to the Zombie Ranch guy, because
oh, yeah,
cool.
How are they doing? Yeah, doing
and,
good.
And yeah, they were doing good and said hi to him. They were
was
totally
it a big,
we
was
didn't
it as big
thing.
As last year, like the expo, or is it getting bigger? Is it...
Yeah, definitely. Like, they've expanded. You know, they kind of expanded out into
like
the lobby.
Out into the lobby, yeah.
They,
so
like,
they still...
double expanded it now, so there's, like, three
oh, wow.
rows out there now.
Okay.
So it's definitely the biggest it's been. So, anyway, so he said they did well, but they were totally bummed that we didn't get to do a comic thing. He's like, oh, I thought we were going to, you know, we're going to see you guys again.
Yeah.
So, and I talked to him about it. So, anyway, while I was talking to him, Topher walked by, and he's like, oh, hey. And so I talked to Topher for a while. We kind of scooted to the side of his booth. And then right as I was wrapping up with Topher, Derek walked around the corner. So I was, like, seriously standing by the Zombie Ranch table for, like, over an hour talking to various people.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's how it gets at cons. Like, once you start
totally.
Knowing people, and that's when you get to there's certain people that you only see at cons,
yeah.
and then, like, you have your con friends, you know?
Right. So it was, I mean, it was funny because I think it's the first one I've gone to without you.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what am I going to do without Brenda?
Well, you had a day at Long Beach when I wasn't there, remember, when I couldn't
That's
find
true.
The conventions.
Yeah.
But you just were at the Nintendo booth the whole time.
Right, but what happened when I did that, though? I got there, and I thought I got early entry, so I walked into the floor, and I like started playing video games, and the people came over and like, this isn't open yet. Why are you in here? And I was like, I don't know. I need Brendo.
And I'm outside. Well,
and then you were like,
I was
I don't know where you are.
Down outside.
I think you seriously almost cried. You were so
I was crying. I was
that.
Crying.
Like, where are you? I'm like, we're at the convention center.
The convention, the Long Beach Convention Center is confusing and huge.
It is very confusing. And if you know where you're going, it's fine. But
yeah, but that backside, like if you didn't know it was there, it's not what you would think. Like you go, there's a place in the front that says Long Beach Convention Center, but that's not. I don't even think it's connected to that part where they have the... I don't understand
no,
it.
No,
because
remember that one
it.
Year we had to walk to the separate
oh, yeah.
building when we did the panel over there. It's a completely different building.
It was a completely different building.
So, yeah, it's very confusing. And, of course, nobody knew because that first year was really small, so no one knew it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, nobody knew what I was talking about. I'm going around like, there is the comic convention here. Where is it? And everyone's like, what? And there was like a Herbalife thing or some other stupid
yeah.
thing. So it was all these like people like, oh, I don't know where that is, but can I interest you? And I'm like, get away from me. All right, good night, Adam. Thank you
for joining us, Adam.
Joining us for a little bit there. Don't forget, Adam Wells, it's The Adam Wells.
The Adam Wells.
And what's the website?
TheAdamWells.com.
Okay, Adam Wells podcast. Recent episode featuring Derek Armijo. He's making his rounds.
Yeah. He's getting out back in the scene. So anyway, the convention was cool, and I wanted to tell you about this. I didn't get to tell you this before, but I actually met up with Martha, who's the one that runs it.
Martha Donato, yes.
And she, like, immediately came up to me, and she was like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. She's like, I am so sorry about what happened. Apparently what happened is she said, like you know, she said her day job, like, doing all the other stuff
yeah.
besides just Long Beach Comic Con.
Because she's, like, a professional event planner.
Right. And so it's just gotten – so she couldn't personally handle all the
yeah,
booking.
Which
so
makes sense.
So she had to hire a new guy.
Yes.
And
who didn't
she said
know
the
us.
New guy who doesn't know us. And the new guy, you know, she handed it all to him. And I saw, I think I told you, I saw her email where she sent our information
yes.
to him. And so she said she talked to him, like, just this last week, like, right before the thing, and said, how's it going? And he said, oh, I got too many things. I had to cut some stuff. And she's like, oh, well, what did you have to cut? And he said, and he gave her the list. And she's like, oh, no, you can't cut them. And she was all upset. But by this point, this was, like,
yeah.
a week ago.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm so sorry. No, I didn't get back to your emails because I've just been so crazy busy. I haven't been able to get to anything. And she's like, please come back in November. We're really sorry. And she was really, really nice.
Well, that makes me feel a lot better about it because I was a little upset.
And I don't think that the guy was trying to snub it.
I don't think he was either. I just think he didn't know that. Because, like, I understand that, like, you have one day, you can't fill the whole programming thing.
Right.
But, like, there should be some kind of, like, if there was a seniority system, we would be at the top because we've done it forever.
Every time.
And we have built a pretty good following to the point where you even said, like, people were bummed.
Right, right.
That
people
we weren't
assume
doing,
we're going to be a part
yeah,
of.
Yeah, like people assume that like at Long Beach, yes, we're going to have our Webs Comics panel.
They're
going to
get that candy bar, you know.
Yeah, and I think people were bummed. Not just Zombie Ranch, dude.
Right.
That's good. That makes me feel a lot better about
she was
it.
Really, really nice, and I felt really good.
I'm bummed I couldn't go. I just like I said, I've been really broke lately, and I ended up. I probably wouldn't have been able to go anyways because we had a website emergency this weekend. We were getting majorly bombarded by a DDoS attack from China. We found out where our bandwidth. They were just constantly crashing the site. Like, Danny and I would get it back up, and then it would crash again. Like, sometimes minutes later, sometimes hours later, it was going up and down, up and down, up and down. Finally, our web host just suspended our account. And we were like, oh, gosh, we got to figure this out. So we figured out that probably a good idea to update our blog software because we hadn't updated it in, like, 2 or 3 years. Bad idea. Bad, bad, bad idea. I know it's terribly lazy. I work at a freaking security company, and I tell people every day as part of my job, keep your software updated. And then I wasn't paying attention to my own advice as far as that can. So and then because it had gotten so bad, and this is another thing – doing those quick updates, it might seem like a pain in the butt, but it saves you so much trouble because then when I did finally update, because things were so bad and like our database was so huge with all this garbage tables and all this stuff that caused by these hackers, I ended up having to manually update our blogging software, which meant going through the PHP code of the update scripts and then taking the code, like the pieces of code, like and manually running it. Like piece by piece by piece for hours. And sometimes I would screw up. And they had a feature where once you got to a certain step of the way, you wouldn't have to do it again. It was like a checkpoint, right? Like think of video game terms.
I got it.
But those checkpoints were few and far between. So if I screwed up before I got to a checkpoint, I'd have to do that whole segment over again. And in the programming world, as you know, it can be like I forgot to put in a semicolon or I type something incorrectly and then I have to do this whole set of steps again. So it was – but I actually was pretty – I didn't flip out. I actually it reminded me of back in the day when I would be debugging code on our website back in the early days of BrendoMan.com for hours. And it's actually – it almost had like a calming thing. I'm like – I could –
nostalgia.
Because it's all – like in those sense, it's something I can control. It's not out of my control. And I'm learning as I'm going and I just felt like powerful. I don't know. Like I felt good. And it reminded me why I loved doing the website in the first place. And so I think I'm going to be a little bit more hands-on with maintaining for – at least for the current – I mean, until I get lazy again. But it was just a reminder that you need to stay on top of that stuff.
It's like not pruning your trees one season. If you don't do it one season, the next season
you're
it's
just like,
way more difficult.
So, yeah, if I had kept up to date on the blog software for the last couple years, I would not have had to spend 14, 15 hours. Because I was up late Friday night, and then this Saturday night I didn't go to bed till 4 in the morning.
So it's like you got a weed abatement notice.
Yes.
I can understand these terms now. This is good.
So, but now we're all good. We're on the latest version, the bleeding edge version, and our loads times. Everything is currently looking great. And I think we patched the hole that they were exploiting, the hackers. And everything's been good. So Brax and Brendoman and Popbox Music and my brother's site and all those sites, they should be running strong, better than ever. And also, the new blog software, like, they've added quite a few new features, and it seems to run better, and it's got, like, a nifty – the interface, there's a little bit smoother. There's some cool new stuff.
Sweet.
So, yeah, I'm really pleased with our – it's B2 Evolution, which we run. I know most people run on WordPress these days. At the time, we didn't when we first were using B2 Evolution because WordPress at the time did not support – multiple blogs on one blogging software,
right?
Which we needed, because Brendoman.com as a whole hosts, at the time we were at like 25, 30 different blogs.
Right.
Now the big ones, it's me, Danny, Brax. It's pretty much it. But we used to host a ton of people. No, well, PopVox, PopVox is like static web pages, and then we use Facebook now for the news page.
Right.
So now it's really, PopVox is, but I mean, well, now the store runs on PHP and stuff, so that's the only intensive, and that's not even that bad. Speaking of that, now that I'm thinking about it, I should probably update the store software since I haven't taken a look at that in a long time. But, yeah.
So quite exciting.
But, yeah, so that was my weekend. Yeah. And then I...
Well, Martha did ask about you, too. Want to know...
Well, I'm glad. I'm really glad. Stuff, so. That makes me really happy.
Yeah.
And then Topher's got some huge, big plans for Comic-Con. And
We need to talk after
we're
going to
be busy at Comic-Con if even a fraction of this stuff goes off the way it should.
Kind of exciting.
I'm really excited. I just don't know when I'm going to be able to do any of this. Like the pre-planning, it's going to take a lot of work beforehand.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of stuff to do. And on top of all the other stuff I'm doing, like I'm actually taking a guitar class online right now.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's going really well. It's through Coursera.
Right.
And it's been in the Berklee College of Music, and I really like it. I like the instructor. I like the videos and the assignments. And it's not that bad. It's like watching videos, taking quizzes, and then there's an assignment we do every week. And so far, it's been pretty cool. And I've learned a lot. The chords that he started with us to learn, he makes it seem really easy in the video, but they're really high up. It's like the A minor and E major, I think.
Okay.
And they're like really high up, and like I have a really hard time with those, so I'm still really trying to work on those. I can play, I would say, 2.5. I've almost got the A.
Okay.
Minor. No, the E. I can play D, I can play A, and this one is E, I think, is the one. So that's what I'm learning right now.
Throw a G in there. And you've got, you know, pretty good solid.
Well, with the Justin guitar method, the three chords, I'm working on the third one. The next lesson, we're going to start playing some songs.
All right.
So I'm getting there. It's just it takes a while. And I didn't get to practice at all this weekend. So.
Well, yeah.
But I hopefully I'll make up for it during the week. And it's been fun. Been having a lot of fun with it, and it's been almost like I look forward to it. Like when I get home, I'm like, oh, I can play guitar.
I can't wait to have you doing songs.
Yeah, I know. I've actually been working on some stuff in that department.
Nice.
But I started early. I'm working on with the DS-10. I've been working for the new track.
Oh, good. Yes, yes, yes.
So I've just started that, though. That's going to be a process. And I was figuring I could do the DS-10 track, and why don't you maybe work on some Electroplankton stuff since you still have my copy of Electroplankton.
Absolutely, and we will merge.
Yeah, so why don't we do that?
That's good.
Because we do owe our backers a track.
Ooh, yes, and we have some good updates on that.
And I think it's cool. It would be cool like if this track might lead to a new Brendoman All-Stars EP, maybe. You could do like a web release, like on Bandcamp or something.
I also have some good news about that.
Oh wow, man! Seems like you got a lot of news.
Dude, I've got some.
Well, let's do it. Let's talk about like what are these exciting.
Well, that's all. It all comes under the music. So, do you want to do like updates?
Let's updates and announcements first. So,
and then we'll get to that. Okay.
Yeah. Hold on. Just don't forget our sponsor is audible.com. So if you go to audibletrial.com/brendoman, you can sign up for a 30-day free trial, and they will give you a free audiobook on us.
That's a good deal.
So even if you decide to cancel your subscription, you can keep that free audiobook. And this week, since I have been watching his show, which just premiered on IFC, Marin, It's really good, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Think Louis, but, like, with Marc Maron.
That's cool.
It's very much in, because it's him recording his pod. This first episode, it's him and Dave Foley. It's really funny. Nice. Yeah. He's got good guest stars on there. And then his book's called Attempting Normal, and he's got an audio version narrated by him. And I highly would recommend that. I'm sure it's really great. I have the book. I started it, but I've got a lot of books, so hopefully I'll get to it soon. I'm sure it's great. I read his other book and it's really good. Sweet. Yeah. So that's Attempting Normal, narrated by Marc Maron, unabridged. And, you can get that on go to audibletrial.com/brendoman.
Okay, and I have my recommendation for the week. We talked about a couple times about E.L. Konigsberg. She's
yes.
the one that wrote From the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler. I don't know if you heard this, but like I think last week passed away.
Oh, I did not hear about that.
I think it was like right before we were going to record last week or something. So in honor of her, in memory of her, I'm recommending they have From the Mixed Up Files on theirs, but they also have several of her books.
Nice. I want to read some of her other books. I know you read one of them. You already talked about it.
And I just picked up another one at a used bookstore over the weekend, so I'm excited about that.
Nice.
They have several of hers on here, and one I wanted to point out, I haven't read this one yet, but The Outcast of 19 Schuyler Place is narrated by Molly Ringwald.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, double cool for that. So, that's my recommendation. AudibleTrial.com/Brendoman.
So, in other promotional considerations, don't forget if you are looking for a web host, consider using DreamHost, which is the official host of RadioBrendo.com. And they have great, easy, we use them for our WordPress site and some of the other sites I've been doing, mbwspod.com and Brendo's Wrestling Show. And you can save $50 on a web hosting plan, and you get a free domain registration, an extra free domain registration, because each plan comes with a domain registration, and you'll get an extra one on us.
That's awesome.
That is quite a deal, because web hosting can be expensive, and DreamHost has lots of cool features and easy to use control panel. I use them for Radio Brendo. If Brendoman.com wasn't the beast that it is, I'd hopefully be using them on there. But we require we're on a virtual private server. Watch, DreamHost has those, and they're quite a steal. We're actually considering moving over to their virtual private server hosting, because it is very affordable for VPS, extremely affordable. We're just, again, Brendoman.com is a giant beast, and so we have to make every decision, we have to think it through, and it has to be very carefully planned out. If you have a new blog, if you want to start a podcast, I would highly recommend hosting your WordPress site on DreamHosts. That way you can advertise. But I wouldn't recommend hosting your audio files on there if you're getting big at all, because again, most hosts, and that's not just a DreamHost thing, but the bandwidth involved is pretty nuts. I'm not saying you can't, you probably could, you'd probably be fine, but for all intents and purposes, I would just recommend using some either dedicated podcasting host to host your files, or do what we do and host them on archive.org, and archive.org welcomes your podcasts. Hosting. Actually, really Benson cool also told me that what is it? Not Create Space. There is a site that has free podcast hosting. Benson knows. They'll host files up to 100 megs each. But I feel better about archive.org, because I know it's been there forever, and I feel like it will be there for a long time, and I like the purpose of it.
It's a pretty good
and
bet that it's being around for
a while. And it's a non-profit organization. I don't feel like I'm giving my files to some shady fly-by-night thing.
They have a good reputation that's been
That in conjunction with your DreamHost powered site, that will make a very solid podcast site. That's what we do. That's what I recommend. And yeah. All right. So let's get some. What's going on with the Kickstarter?
All right. Well, some exciting things. First of all, I think you probably saw this. Oh, I know that our backers have, but the surveys as far as T-shirt size and other reward, you know, things like the options has gone out. We have all but one response back yet. So I'm just waiting on that one to come back. I'm going to bug the person. I won't call him out because that's embarrassing. But because I got to order the T-shirts all at once, so I got to get all the sizes and stuff. But the second I get that, the T-shirt order is going in. Mm-hmm. We're ready to go. So, and I actually, just for another thing, actually for my other job at church, I just ordered a bunch of stuff from our company that we're doing, and I'm currently wearing the shirt I got. It's really nice. It came out really well, so I'm very pleased with that as well.
Awesome.
So that's good. So the other thing is, and I know that Janelle has talked to you about this, but we're coming down on Friday. We're going to record live together.
Yeah. Do you want to do – are we going to be able to do our Batman commentary then?
Well, I was thinking more – because if we're going to do a full show, then to do another show, maybe what we should do is our – well, I guess we could do the Batman one. I was thinking doing like the special episode of Phil and Brenda in the Wild, just because.
Yeah, but we don't have to do that together in person, so I feel like we should use our time wisely.
So maybe we should do the Batman one,
because the backer exclusive one we can do anytime online.
That's true. Well, so yes, so we'll be one way or another. We'll be getting some more of the backer stuff done this Friday, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, I would. I think the commentary would be
ideal.
That
makes sense. I didn't think about that. You know, so you're right, though. That's good.
And since I have Batman on DVD, and we could do it, so we could do a couch cast, and then do, and then we'll you and I will do the commentary.
That's perfect.
So that'll be exciting on Friday.
Yeah,
that's happening.
So we got lots of good stuff for the backers. Things are moving along. So as always, thank you so much for your support and. Thanks for almost everybody got their stuff in really quickly, and that's really awesome. I mean, it hasn't even been that long, so I'm not even mad at the people that haven't gotten it back, but I'm just excited to get it moving. So,
yeah,
it's really good.
Well,
and
it's exciting. Stuff's happening.
It's yes.
And again, we really appreciate it. All that you guys contributed and your positive feedback. It's been really encouraging and kept us going.
Yes. Yes. So very good.
All right.
Yeah.
So we already talked about Long Beach Comic Expo. That went really well. And I talked about my near-death experience.
I got eight tags at the con, too. So
you what?
I only got eight tags because I was only there for like an hour or two hours. So.
Any other cool booths? Anything else cool that you saw?
A lot of the typical cool stuff. I did get like eyeballed by Angus Oblong and had to, you know, shoot off down a side one because I didn't want to get roped in there.
Have we ever talked about that on the show?
I don't know if we have. I think maybe on After
I don't want to be mean, but, like, no. Angus Oblong is annoying.
Well, I'll tell you why I don't mind being mean.
He's a talented guy. He's a nice enough guy, but he's very aggressive when it comes to salesmanship.
Well, and he's kind of, like... I just know it was my first convention or maybe second, and he
made you very uncomfortable.
Called us over, and I didn't know. And he's like, "Hey, I bet you'd like to see this." And he showed me all these like naked drawings of like Britney Spears that he had done, crotch shots and stuff. Like really, like he just flashes them. I'm like, "Whoa!" Like I just got to a convention and you're showing me this. I'm like, "No, thank you." And anyway, so that was very uncomfortable for me.
I also just don't like getting the hard sell because, like, I don't know. I just wish I could just be like, there's a better way than this, you guys.
Yeah. Like, I want to be able to come up and say, hey, without feeling like you're going to be horrible to me.
Yeah.
I actually did also meet a new webcomics person. I was bummed that I wasn't able to invite them to
our
thing.
That's always
good. It's pretty cool. She was really nice. And I'll just give her a shout out since I have her card in my hand right here. It's omgcow.com.
Sounds awesome.
It's like her. It's like a diary. She said it's kind of like it's called a daily comic diary.
I like that.
And so it's like it's a obviously stylized version of herself. And then like one of her friends was there, and he said like she writes him into the comic and stuff. So it's fun to like be her friend.
Oh my gosh, her artwork is fantastic.
Yeah, it's cool, right?
It reminds me of like Kate Beaton style. But very, definitely. I like this a lot. I'm already digging it.
She's really nice too. So
very cool.
OMGCow.com.
How do you say it? Sheikah?
Sheikah, I think. I met her very briefly, so I don't remember. Sheikah cool. or Sheikah. So, yeah, nice. So good stuff. So, yeah, it was good. For being there for 2 hours, I feel like I got a lot in and, you know, got talked to a lot of people and stuff.
Were the Toon Hole guys there?
I didn't see them. However, there some people were already cleaning up by the time okay. I got there, so I may have missed them. I'm not
Their comic's
sure.
been really funny lately.
So, yeah, those guys are funny.
I haven't heard back from the Buttersafe guys. I think they're very busy right now.
They,
I did
well,
email
got
them.
To be,
so. Well, because they're doing like the Katamari comic and some of the right. other stuff. They said they were working on some other project that they couldn't talk about. So I'm not holding it against them. I think they're in the process of blowing up. Is what's happening?
Oh, yeah.
Like
exactly. So I doubt. I don't think it's a snub as much as they're
well
because
they were. Yeah, and because they if they were doing WonderCon, like I feel like they must be expanding if they're actually
yeah.
coming down here. Because I mean they're from the Northwest yeah. area. So I knew it was a big deal for them to be down here, and I'm just super happy that they were at the convention at all, and they were so nice and cool, and their comic is amazing. You guys, buttersafe.com. Yeah. It's definitely my top five web comics.
I'd say it's my favorite.
I know it's your favorite.
I love it.
It's really good. But there's so many. I haven't been able to keep up with webcomics lately, to be honest, just because I've been so – and I can't read them at work anymore.
Right.
They're all – so I've just – I do the best I can. But when I do get a chance, I'll usually go to Buttersafe. I'll read like Wonder Mark and Dinosaur Comics. Like those are my go-tos. And yeah, always Buttersafe. Always amazing.
It's definitely the one that I never fall very far behind on. So
yeah, and but they were passing out this really cool booklet there. Like they just have so many cool, like even they're not super funny, but like more just like stories
yeah.
are everything they do.
Oh, everything! It's just genius.
They're amazing.
Hey, speaking of coming down to your house, I got your birthday present. I'm bringing it early.
Wow.
Well, because I don't know if we'll see you again by then. It's close enough. So
that's true.
So, you know, that way I don't have to ship it.
Is that my phone?
I think that's your phone.
Why is my phone vibrating so much? I don't know what's happening.
So,
but,
cool.
Yeah, that's, yeah, cool, awesome. So, next Friday, that should be good. I want to make sure, I don't know if I'm going to be able to hang out on Saturday because I'm heading up to Long Beach because Danny and Sarah are going to be in town.
Well, that's cool.
But I think that's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, because I took Monday and Tuesday off work.
Okay.
Not that week, not this week. Yeah. But definitely Friday, possibly, I don't know. I really want to go to SeaWorld because I haven't been to SeaWorld in so long.
Well, at least we can get like dinner and then do our stuff because I know
yes,
the kids.
Yes, absolutely.
Like,
and I want to see
I'm not just saying
kids.
My kids have been saying, like, when are we going to see Uncle Brendo?
Oh,
like,
I love
really
your kids.
Miss you, so.
I'm the Don, man.
I know. You're
Don Creasy, as Amber
yes.
puts so well.
So you definitely – so we definitely need to at least grab dinner so they can see you and then, you know, do the recording. So
yeah, totally.
Cool.
I'm trying to think anything else. Oh, well, fitness update. I had my first game.
Okay, it happens, though. That's not bad.
Yeah, and it could be some muscle, too. I've been doing a lot of working out. But I don't know. I had a little bit of an off week. I did not do anything on Wednesday, and I had a few I bought some candy out of stress. I do stress eating.
Yeah, don't
and, like,
we all.
So I bought, like, some – I'm addicted to cherry nibs. They're, like, the best things in the world. That's my favorite candy. Like, I have a sweet tooth. I don't know. And I didn't do so well. I mean, there was a couple days. It wasn't, like, crazy, but I bought, like, a bag and I ate it.
Well, like, any graph is going to, you know, go
yeah.
up and down a little bit.
And that's the thing. It's just how you deal with that. Like, it would be bad if I'm just like, oh, now I'm not going to work out. I'm not going to do anything. I'm done.
Exactly.
It's over. And I just start. But I'm still, like, sticking to my diet. I'm still doing everything. It's just, you know, sometimes it happens. And plus, this week is just nuts. So I'm not going to let it drag me down. I've been working out. I kept working out. I have one more day on my couch to 5K plan and I'm done. I did it.
Nice.
I ran 30 minutes straight on Friday.
That's incredible.
Yes.
And
mind you, it is Brendo jogging. So
still, that's
But that's I can jogging. Do it consistently. Oh my gosh, I saw another huge, because it's like, since it's been warm.
Right.
Huge snake. It just went right across the trail in front of me. I almost stepped on it. Thankfully, it was not a rattlesnake. I think it was your garden variety garden snake. But there are rattlers. I've seen some huge rattlers. But mostly the snakes just are minding their own business. They're not, they're trying to.
Don't bug them. They're probably not going to be a problem.
No, but this one, it just, I wasn't even paying attention. I looked down and giant snake. Like it was at least 4 feet. It was like a 4 foot long. It was a big sucker.
So I wanted to point out too, for those that aren't watching on YouTube,
it was big.
In the chat, Brendo took up the whole.
Yeah, I shaved. So here's what happened. Actually, this is a good little story. Because I don't know what happened, but my clout score just like exploded. I think it's because all my fitness posts on Facebook and those get a huge response.
Right.
You know, like I get like 60 likes and whatnot and a lot of comments. So like my clout score has just exploded. So I started getting a lot of cool clout perks. It's this website that's like this social media site where like they give you a score based on how much you interact on like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and stuff. And companies will be like, oh, we can give you things to promote because you have such a big following on these social media sites. And so I have like a clout score of like 63, which is high.
That's a lot of clout.
And so the first thing – I knew things were happening when I got a Sony Walkman. Like – and then it's a new Walkman. Like now Sony Walkmans are like headsets – that have like a built-in MP3 player.
Oh, okay. So it's not actually a cassette tape.
No. Yeah, okay. They're still making those, Phil. Like,
well, that's why I was confused when you first said it. Like,
no, it's the Walkman. It's a Walkman, but it's like a headset, and I listen to all my podcasts on it, and it's hands-free. There's no wire. It's great. So I got that in the mail. It's awesome.
That's cool.
And then I got a
And it was good for them because you just told a bunch of people about it.
Yeah,
so
and I tweeted about it, and so that's kind of how it works. But then this new service started. It's a new company. It's called Dollar Shave Club, and they sent me some of their Dr. Carver's shave butter. It's because it's not a lather. It's like got all these vitamins and all this stuff, and like it's like it doesn't. It's actually I was really impressed with it because at first I'm like, what is this stuff? How does this work? And basically, they have different plans, but for $1 a month, you get a razor and 4 blades.
For $1 a month?
Yeah, it's a twin blade. If you want to bump up to like $4 a month, they have a triple blade, or no, 4 blade one that's really good. So they sent me that one, but I'm sure that if it's as good as this quad blade one, I'm sure the twin blade's fine. And because you have one, you change it out every week, it never gets dull. And that's usually the problem that I have, is I get really lazy because the blades are so freaking expensive, you know? Like,
well, for most people, that's probably the case, but I have a different experience shaving. I buy dollar razors and I keep them for 6, 7, 8 months.
That's terrible. That
until
sounds...
it's so rusty that, you know. It
oh gosh!
Me a bunch,
oh no!
Buy a new one.
No! See, I have really, really sensitive skin, so like that's one of the reasons why I didn't shave, because like just like that's my biggest problem is like I have really sensitive skin, so like razor burn is like a huge issue for me. Well. You just talk about how bad it is, and then you're using a rusty dollar.
Yeah, see, that's how I know. When I start getting razor burn, I know, okay, I should probably get a new razor. It's near the end. There's rust spots. There's so much hair jammed in it. I have to scrape at it for a while to get it
out. How do you, like, plus, like, that can't be fun shaving with those things. Like, I just feel like that's not going to give you a good shave. So
it still
works.
Why would I spend more money?
Oh, my gosh. Ugh. See, but this is, like, a really good deal. And that shave butter stuff, I usually don't feel my face is just, even like on, like, if I have a brand new razor blade and, like, sensitive skin shaving cream, it's still, like, just like, ugh. But this stuff, I actually feel refreshed and my face feels good.
That's good.
And so highly, highly recommended. No BS here. DollarShaveClub.com.
It's It's good.
I feel like I've just been promoting all kinds of stuff this week. But I'm serious.
It's
like, I'll promote.
It's like,
if it's something I actually
stuff.
Like, yeah, I'll promote the heck out of it.
Yeah.
And they sent me, they were nice enough. They sent me this shave butter. They sent me a lip free razor and replacement blades. And it's great. And because freaking razor blades are expensive.
It would, I don't, as long as it's something that we would actually use or do use on a regular basis, there's nothing wrong with it. Right.
And you want to know what? Like, so for instance, like, McDonald's sent me a $5 card thing for, like, their new wrap.
Okay.
And I got it, and it was gross.
So there you go. So you're not promoting that.
It's not good. Did not like it. I think I've lost the taste for, like, really bad fast food. Although I still love the hamburgers, because, like, on my cheat day last week, I had some McDonald's hamburgers. Those are still, and fries, McDonald's fries are still delicious.
Yep.
And McDonald's Coke is still the best Coke. Something about that mix, I don't know what it is.
It's magic.
It is.
If you believe in magic, and I hope you do, they'll always have good.
But those wraps are disgusting.
Yeah, it doesn't really look good to me. I'm not a wrap guy myself.
No, not really. Not really. I mean, it has to be done right, and they're not.
The only wraps I liked were the ones they used to have at KFC, like those like twisters they were
called. Oh, dude. Did I tell you about the dragon wrap in China that they had?
No.
It's only in China. The KFC wraps in China are amazing.
Oh.
Because they have, like, these different ones and, like, different sauces, and they're really spicy. But,
it's not rat?
Well, no.
Well, you saw that big news.
Yeah,
this
yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm not just being mean.
Well, these are chicken wraps at McDonald's, but they're not good. I just didn't like it. It's like, because I had this bacon chicken one, and I'm just like, ugh, this chicken tastes gross. Everything about McDonald's, like, I don't know, maybe it's just because I eat, like, fresh, and I'm eating very fresh, and I'm eating very healthy, you know, like whole, like not processed, gross stuff. So now I can really like be like, ugh, I don't know. It's just not appetizing at all. But for some reason, those hamburgers, oh my gosh.
Yeah, they put an addictive chemical in it that makes you crave it fortnightly.
I've been bummed at KFC lately, though.
Yeah?
Because they re-released the Chicken Little, but that thing that they're calling the Chicken Little is not a Chicken Little.
Chicken Little.
No. It's that, like, snacker thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they're calling it a Chicken Little. But for one thing, it's like $1.25. And I'm sure you remember, Chicken Littles were like 25 cents.
Oh, yeah. They were like the chicken of the Burger Buddy world.
And
I mean, the Burger Buddy of the chicken
there
world.
There was something about that chicken and the Chicken Little. It was just so, I don't know, the spices or something. And these are not those. It's like way too much breading. It's just all crispy crunchiness, which isn't bad, but that's not what I want when I order a Chicken Little. A Chicken Little is a small little chicken sandwich, more like Chick-fil-A or something, like a chicken tender, not almost, but like lightly breaded and seasoned. And these were not those, and plus they were $1.25 or whatever. I'm like, this was bummed me out because I loved Chicken Littles. Also, those commercials with, like, the 50 songs were catchy.
Right.
Chicken Littles. Chicken Littles. Remember? And then, like, and then they had, like, a Doo-Wah Diddy one. Only 29 cents. Chicken Littles. I remember all those commercials, man. Because it was, like, when the 50s, the whole 50s revival in the 80s was happening, like, Back to the Future and all that stuff. So there was all 50s-themed commercials. That was when, like, the Golden Grahams commercial, like, forever.
Imagine you. I didn't even know that was a real song.
Oh, yeah, me either.
Years later.
Golden Grahams. I thought that was. We all grew up on that. Because that commercial was around for a long time.
Yeah. I did not know that was a real song until much later.
Because they were playing on the nostalgia of our parents, so it makes sense. Like,
right.
All those commercials were, like, using those. I'm trying to think of some other ones. They used, like, oldies songs. But, I remember Knott's for a while. They had the one with Charlie Brown and like Lucy, and they were, it was like What I Like About Knots instead of
what I like about Knots. Play all day.
Yes.
Go up, down, all around, in and out, all I could take.
When I hear that song, I still think about that. That's like about, so those are some successful commercials. Yeah. The fact that that was when we were kids,
and that's, and still, it's still like deeply ingrained
burned
in my
into
brain.
My brain. Or like we were talking about this, like, we still, like, when you think about Andre the Giant, you think about a couple things. You think about Princess Bride, and you think about freaking Honeycomb commercials.
Yep. It's genius.
Because those commercials were great.
I just watched The Princess Bride on Friday, and it's... Okay, this is a slight detour, but since you mentioned Princess Bride, I watched Princess Bride back-to-back with The Neverending Story.
Yeah.
There are so many parallels. It's the same movie.
It is the same movie.
I never counted all of the...
The same movie.
It's incredible. I never even thought of it until I watched them back-to-back. So.
But I think Princess Bride came after, but the book... It's a... They were around the same time.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah. Well, the book came later, but the movie came before, I think. I don't know. I'll have to fact-check that.
Wait, what book came later? What are you talking about?
Like, The Neverending Story, I think, was after The Princess Bride book.
Is The Neverending Story based on a book?
Yeah.
Okay, I did not know that.
That's in our book club. That'll be the next time we come around to one book.
Also,
book.
Speaking of our book club, you realize that the fourth Tripods book is actually a prequel.
Yes, but it was released, like, way later.
We're reading them in order of release? Order.
Yeah.
Okay, because on Goodreads, it's... It goes, it, that one is first.
Well, it's listed as zero.
Zero, that you're right.
So to me, that means you get freedom, and I like to go in publishing order personally. Yeah.
Also, I wanted to do a quick little, I don't know if this is a rant per se.
Okay.
Biking is stressful, and I don't know if I like it.
Okay.
Because, one, pedaling uphill sucks. Even if you have, like, a good... I have, like, a lot of gears. It's still, like... Like, by the time I get up a hill, I want to die.
Right.
I don't like it. I think it's just over time, it'll probably get better. But also... Okay, so it's already, like, when I'm walking, I'm always concerned that, like, I'm going to get hit by a car when I'm crossing the street. Because cars... Especially cars making right turns, like, they act like complete morons. Right. And, like, they're just going. You're, like, making right turns at a red light. I'm like, you need to treat that like a stop sign. It's not just, like, roll, don't even look, and then go. You are at a red light. There are pedestrians, and there is oncoming traffic. I've had three cars almost just turn right into me as I am crossing in my bike and also walking. But riding a bike, you seem to be more invisible, even more invisible. And I almost got, okay, like, car doors are a real danger.
Right.
Like, and you know that scene in This Is 40?
Yep.
Like, that is a very real, and people die from that all the time. Like, if you look on the news and stuff
going at a good speed, that's...
Oh, yeah. I had to swerve. I've had to swerve out of the way twice. And into traffic. From getting to avoid getting doored. Like,
that's crazy.
It's just so stressful. And
I guess that's,
like,
why they built the stationary bike, or they invented stationary bikes.
Riding on the road, like, because I have to get part of my, both of my bike routes involve bike trails, because otherwise I just don't think I would do it at all. Because riding on the road is insanely scary and really stressful, and I think if something is going to happen, it's going to happen then. Like, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die on my bike because some idiot isn't even paying any kind of attention. And so you have to constantly just be looking everywhere and constantly aware. And for me, like, that's not relaxing. That's not what I want to do when I'm trying to work out and relax and enjoy myself. So I don't know how I feel about cycling at this point.
All right.
And I'm kind of regretting spending a lot of money on a bike. I'm there. There it is.
There's got to be some places, though. I mean,
yeah, but I have to get to those places. And that involves going on the road, and it's still. But then, if I have to drive somewhere to bike, then, like, that's stupid. I don't want to do that.
It kind of defeats some of the purpose there.
And, like, plus, like, I don't know. I'd have to get a bike rack on my car. I don't want to deal with any of that crap. It's just annoying. Yeah. There's a reason why walking and running is easy, because you can just do it, and it's not as... Because, like, I can go on the sidewalk.
Right.
I still almost get... I've still almost gotten hit at crosswalks by idiots. Red light does not mean just go, people. Red light means stop and look. And the pedestrians in the crosswalk, they have the right of way, idiots. Don't glare at me when I am walking in a crosswalk when I have a green go. You can shut up and not hit me with your car. Thank you, you jerk. I'm talking about the guy that glared at me when I had the tenacity to walk in a crosswalk when I had the walk sign. How dare I do that?
How could you?
Asshole. Okay. I'm sorry. I just needed to get that out there because this guy was a jerk.
Okay, super fast, just update. Princess Bride book was written first, then the book Neverending Story, then the movie Neverending Story, then the movie Princess Bride.
Okay.
So everyone borrowed from everyone.
Yeah.
All right. I just had to get that out.
That's good.
Speaking of books.
Are we going to do books?
Well, how about we just do our book club one?
Okay, so I finished The White Mountains, and I reserved the second one.
What'd you think?
It was really good. It was really fast, and it's exciting, and I like it. I'm excited to find out what happens next.
Yes. I'm about halfway through the second one. It's super good. There's less in common with the Hunger Games than I remembered, but
it's still a really good story.
But yeah, it's great on its own, yeah. But you'll see the second one where I got the confusion from.
Yeah. I like the whole thing with, like, the aliens and, like, this whole post, like, technology society. It reminds me a lot of the Dark Tower series as far as the world that they live in, where it's a post where there's all these remains of human civilization as we know it, and they live among that. And how weird, like, them trying to figure out what some of, like trying to figure out, like, they find train tracks and, like, a train. And they're trying to figure out what it was, and, like, the subway, and there are all these, like, old cities.
Grenades.
And, yeah, and, like, what these things do, and they almost kill themselves with some grenades. But, like, that's what would happen, you know, like, if people stumbled upon this stuff hundreds of years later. And that's part of the Dark Tower books, Stephen King's Dark Tower series, is, like, this post-technological world.
Right.
And so that's really cool. And just the idea of, like, you know, these aliens would come and wipe out these cities, and they take over, and man is back to, like, living in, like, agricultural times almost.
Yeah, it's like the medieval times or something like that, almost Middle Ages. Yeah. It's cool. And I love the... I don't know. It's there's something about having it be like a kid that brings me back to being a kid and being excited about when it was a kid protagonist, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, I feel like these are very, like, underappreciated too. Like, I don't think many people are aware of them, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of, I don't know why I just thought about this, but I went to that screenings with Derek and Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
The Goonies was awesome, and Jeff Cohen, Chunk, Corey Feldman, and Robert Davi was there.
Nice. I think you posted pictures.
And it was really cool. The panel, Corey Feldman's freaking weird. He's a weird dude. But Robert Davi was really funny, and Chunk was cool. It's just Corey Feldman was weird, and he's always, I don't know, he's just very, I don't know. And he's just a weird dude.
Well,
and he, like, some of his, I just feel like he's very full of himself.
He was one of the Coreys.
I mean, and well, then you think about, but then you can't, I don't know, I can't hold it against, because I'm like, this guy was in, like, so many amazing movies.
Right.
Like, when you think about, like,
without
when
him.
The Burbs, but then just, like, Gremlins, Goonies, Stand By Me. Like, come on. Like, Lost Boys, but, like, those three right there.
He could have never done anything else, and that would be enough.
That's awesome. Like, and you think about, because he's talking about working. He's like, oh yeah, Dick Donner, Steven Spielberg, Joe Dante, Rob Reiner. Like, he worked with all of these people, like these amazing filmmakers and directors and just talented people. And he was in two Joe Dante movies. I mean, Like, you know, he was in the Burbs, and he's a great part of all the, and like the people that he's worked with. I mean, I don't deny that he's an amazingly talented actor. It's just like some careers go one way and others go another, you know? Yeah. And it's, but he, I can tell that like, he, I think he still feels a little frustrated with how his career has turned out.
I could see that. It's unfortunate.
But it was great, and then Terry Gilliam's such a freaking genius, man. Oh. I just feel like just listening to him talk, I'm just like, this guy is operating on like just a completely different level than anybody. Yeah. Like, and just like his desire and his creative output and like just the way he sees the world. And 12 Monkeys, I had never seen it on the big screen, and it's such an amazing movie.
It is.
It's incredible. And Brad Pitt should have won an Oscar. And they all should have. Like, Terry Gilliam, like, I feel like it did get him a lot of critical recognition that he really, really deserved. But I feel like it just, it's a very underappreciated movie, I feel like, mainstream-wise.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody in that movie is fantastic. Madeline Stowe, Bruce Willis is incredible. But Brad Pitt is so incredible in that movie, and it's just such a, just the feel of that movie. And I feel like it has all, like, Gilliam's films have these recurring themes, like the world is just so harsh in his movies and like so dirty and like, yeah, just
and real.
Yeah. But like, even to this like Gilliam level of like, just like, just like, just, yeah. And like, I feel like that would be what the future would look like the Gilliam future.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's the future, that like, it's Brazil, not going to be, man, some like Blade Runner fancy, like, no, it's going to be like gritty and like dirty, and especially, yep, considering all the pollution and all that, like in our, you know, like, I don't know.
I love that scene in Brazil when he gets outside the city.
Yeah.
And he passes all the billboards and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Anyway.
And then, like, just, but, like, Terry Gilliam, just listening to him talk, you're just like, this guy is, and, like, just, like, you know, this guy's worked with everybody imaginable. I mean, he's a freaking python. He's, yeah, a python. He's a Monty Python. But then he went and did all this other amazing stuff, like, on top of all of that. And it's still sometimes just, like, mind-blowing, just listening to him talk about everything and his philosophy on everything, just his unwillingness. Because, like, he's, you know, and, like, he even alluded to, like, the fact that he's gotten some crazy offers for, like, big money projects. But he, because he wouldn't have the control that he needs, he's turned them down.
Yeah.
And, like, you gotta respect that in somebody, for good or bad. Like, that's an amazing, he stuck to his principles the entire way of his career. And then he joked about, like, you know, I am gonna die on a movie set. But he had amazing things to say about Heath Ledger. He did talk a little bit about, like, because they were asking him, like, well, like, if he had done Harry Potter, which he was the first choice to do Harry, yeah, Potter. But then, like, the studios, of course, like, he knew, he's like, I'm never going to get to do this. Like, there's no way. Because that would just mean, like, him, he would never get the control he wanted. So he just treated it like, you know, of course Rowling wanted him to do it, but there's no way that was ever going to happen. No. Like, it's Terry, because he's like,
that,
yeah, I
could have killed him right there too. I mean, that could have been it.
But can you imagine? Like, that would have been amazing. That's what a perfect fit, though, when you, yeah, really think about it. Because, like, you watch something like Time Bandits or like Terry Gilliam kid movies, yeah, could be amazing. Like, yeah, and like I think it would have been awesome. But I mean, you know, like, he's done plenty of great stuff. And then he talked a little bit about Watchmen. How it just was not, again, just, it was they had all these great ideas, but there's no way they would, anybody would let him or pay for them, right, or let them do what he wanted to do. And so, like, he was talking about that. And then he talked about, like, how, you know, he had another go around with Quixote.
Quixote, yeah.
And again, like, he's just like, we're running out of, there's no buddy now, right now, that I could do it with. And, you know, somebody mentioned John Cleese, and he's like, he's getting there, maybe sometime.
Yeah.
And I could see that. I could definitely see that, maybe in a few years.
I think that the whole idea of him, I mean, it's so perfect of him trying to get Quixote done and not doing it, being the, he is Quixote. Like, it's,
yeah.
And I mean,
and I feel like, but I feel like he says he's not, he doesn't have any plans to make another go of it anytime soon, but I could see him one day, like maybe he will make it.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get there. I mean, that's my greatest hope that he can do that.
That would be amazing. I mean,
But, and then he showed, he did bring a short that he had done, a new short.
Nice.
And it was insane and kind of gave me nightmares.
Well, it wouldn't be Terry Gilliam.
It was called The Holy Family. And so basically it's this like Italian pasta company. And instead of making commercials, they spend their advertising money for the year on like a short film. And they've gotten like all these filmmakers to make them.
Huh.
And so he got to make one. And the only stipulation is it has to be filmed in, I don't know, wherever in Italy they were. It doesn't even have to like feature the product. And it's this crazy story about a little kid that like steals a Harlequin statue and like the it comes to life and like takes him into like, that's really nuts. It's very Gilliam, and it was very creepy and weird and cool and like amazing sets and really funny, but like again dark and disturbing. Very disturbing.
Well, that's Terry Gilliam,
and it really creeped me out. But it was really cool seeing that, because not a lot of people have seen it, because he just finished it, and like I don't know like what's going to happen with it.
What's he going to do with it? Yeah,
I'm sure it'll be online, I think, on this company's website. But it's just,
yeah, if you did it for advertisement, I'm sure they have it.
But it's really good.
That's cool.
So that was cool. And again, like his Q&A was just amazing.
Well, Derek said he had a good time. So
yeah, we had fun. Well, Derek didn't stay for freaking 12 Monkeys.
Well, no, but he said went with Goonies.
And seeing Goonies on the big screen is always great, especially like watching on the big screen, having been to Astoria, and I know exactly like when they're at the jail, like right away, I'm like, I stood on those steps, like I was there, like,
that's
and
cool.
Then like the house, like the Goonies house, I was there at the Goonies house. I was at the museum where when they go by the museum, Cannon Beach, like when they're on Cannon Beach and when they're walking around, like I've been to all those places. So that makes it even more awesome now. And yeah, so that was really great.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so next up in the series is City of Gold and Lead. Is that correct?
Yes. And
back to the Tripod series.
Back to the books, yeah. I mean, I super enjoyed the first one, but I'm halfway through it, like I said, and I think it's even better. Like, it's incredible.
Wow.
It's strong, so cool to see what happens next. So.
Strong recommendation there.
Yes. So if you want to join our book club, go to the website, click on the top, book club.
Yeah.
You can join us.
RadioBrendo.com. Click on book club.
It's a lot really of fun. Good. You can comment on the stuff, read along with us, and be awesome.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm kind of going through this OMG cow.
It's good, huh?
It's really, I really like her stuff, and I really like the personal style.
See, that was just,
style.
I mean, like I said, I just went around and talked to a few people. And
yeah, and that's the greatness of webcomics and comic conventions and going through the small press. And like, she has a book that she published herself, and you've always got to give props to those people.
Plus she gave me a free 1-inch button. So
nice.
Yeah.
So again, I always just love seeing all these different small independent artists.
Well, I'm glad that we could hopefully help get the word out about hers a little bit, 'cause she was nice.
Totally. All right, well, hey, let's do music, and then I think that's going to be a wrap here, because we got to, because it's 9:12. I mean, I don't have to be in bed as early, but I got a big day tomorrow, and I still have to eat my dinner, and got a few things.
Because it's Mother's Day while we're recording here.
And it is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to our moms out there. Yeah. I'm pretty sure my mom listens to this show.
Well, thanks.
Does your mom listen?
I know that my mom does not. I mean, it's not an insult. She just.
I think she does. I know she's aware of it.
She knows I do it.
Yeah.
But she's asked me several times, like, now what are you recording? I don't think that, you know, the idea of podcasts is, you know, I mean, it's very new. So
yeah.
You know.
I think my mom listens to at least a little bit of it. Like, she'll click the links on Facebook and stuff. Right. I know she likes our page on Facebook.
Yeah.
And so Mother's Day. But I'm one of those people that's like, the whole idea of Mother's Day is a little silly to me. Like, let's just make a holiday so they can sell cards and stuff. Because really, every day should be Mother's Day. And if you're... I feel like sometimes Mother's Day is a cop-out for some people. Like, oh, I was nice on Mother's Day. Right. Like,
see, I don't buy cards though, so I don't mind that part of it. And,
I hate cards. The whole idea of cards to me is just stupid. Yeah. So I finally this year I'm like, you know what? I'm at work. I got Microsoft Publisher. I'm gonna make a card.
That's good. Yeah. See, that makes a difference then, because it's something you actually did.
And I spent some time on it, and I wrote some things. I wrote some nice things instead of relying on whatever the card guy, you know.
Yeah.
And so I feel, and she was very touched because it reminds for her, I think she said, it reminded her because my brother and I used to make all of our cards like on the computer and stuff. So it reminded her, and she still has all of them. So,
I made my mom a coupon book this year.
Nice.
I mean, you know, it's classic. I haven't done one in a long time, so.
Speaking of that, I think Janelle still has babysitting coupons that I gave her. Is she ever going to try and use those? I think that's
when we come across.
I think those have expired.
No, you can't put an expiration date on a coupon book.
Yeah, but I don't live near you. You'd have to bring your kids out here.
Yeah, we'll come down there. We'll go out to.
You're gonna give them to me like when Audrey's like 13 and you guys don't want to deal with her. You're gonna here's the coupon. Going to Uncle Brendo's.
That's it. You're going to Uncle Brendo's.
And I'm going to be like, oh, crap.
She'll be like, fine. That's good. He has a real TV.
I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure. You still got your little... That's going to become a point of contention.
At some point, I'm sure.
Oh, your old tail of it. The television, you bought it, Rite Aid.
You bought that 30 years ago. Why do I have to have your same stupid TV?
Bought that at college.
Still works.
You're only going to get more. you're going to be even. You're
yeah, but to be fair, I come by it rightly. Today, we hung out with my mom and dad for a little bit, and they were going through. We met up halfway at my brother's house, or his old house, and they were going through boxes of VHS tapes that a friend had given them.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they have a VCR at that house there.
Why do your parents keep taking stuff? I said that. That's the problem.
My mom's like, I like VHS. It's easier for the kids to take care of because they don't scratch them up like DVDs. I'm like,
except it looks like crap.
You're watching VHS. Yeah, I mean, it's fine because, you know, it's that cabin. Like, remember
when we tried to watch Die Hard on video and we were like, oh, I forgot about all the, like, tracking.
Yeah, like, tracking and stuff. Like, so they have, mostly they have, like, kids stuff there, you know. But she was, like, showing me, she had two copies of The Rescuers. And she's like, which one is better? Like, which one's more valuable? I'm like, none of the above.
None
like,
are valuable. No value.
And she said, well, she said that she saw on their, like, local, like, selling page on Facebook, someone sold the original Star Wars trilogy for $10. I'm like, okay, that's a rare, rare VHS exception. And even still, that was $10. Like,
that's still $10. That's still too much.
For three of them, you know, so... Anyway, it's just funny.
VHF
so
tastes are not worth money unless it's like something insane out of print, and even then, like,
there's not a huge
market for that.
Right. So my point being, I come by it rightly. I'm not the only one in my family that holds on to old technology. So, anyway, should we get to some music here?
Yeah.
Okay, so I got a bunch of stuff, but I'll go really fast.
Man, you got a lot of stuff.
So first of all, we've been having like shows and bands and stuff like crazy out here. It's been awesome. We got like a really cool scene going out here. It's like, it feels like college again. Like stuff is going down. There's bands playing all over the place. We got like the coffee shop has now expanded to like they did an outdoor stage so they can have like full bands
and sets
and stuff. We just had this music festival and I had four bands that played, some local, and then we got Sons and Heirs and our friend Cliff Slager came out and played. So I had four bands throughout, or five, counting like a youth band that I helped out with.
So you're getting stuff going. You're getting your name out there.
Dude, this thing was incredible. Let me tell you about it. Okay, so this is the second year they did it. I didn't really know about it last year. This is Yucaipa, right? They estimated between 25,000 and 30,000 people were at this thing.
What?
dude.
So people are coming from out of town.
Oh yes, dude. They shut down like 10 city blocks, like each direction. We had a full carnival. Like there was a main stage and then like a bunch of side stages. It was insane. Like, and we had music, like, it was 3-day festival, like, music,
well, I think,
and they had, like,
that, I think that's becoming, I think there's a, because they have a big thing here in Rancho Penasquitos, like, small towns, because I think people are looking for things to do that aren't insanely expensive and, like, taking their families. I feel like that's kind of coming back.
Yeah, and
you know, because people are looking for inexpensive entertainment activities.
Right. And that was the
plus,
cool thing.
Like,
it was
it's
free.
Kind of, and also, like, people are taking a little bit more pride in their communities these days, mm-hmm. I feel like. Just because, yeah. Like, I don't know. I feel like we're kind of getting back to some more of those values as far as, like, community and taking interest in your community because people are, like, staying places because it's too expensive to get a new, mm-hmm. like, moving. And I don't know. Maybe I could just be blowing smoke on that. But I'm feeling that. I'm definitely feeling that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was very encouraging, too, because, you know, I talked about the idea of doing a film festival out here. Like,
yeah.
Seeing that response, I'm like, oh, we could totally
do
that.
So now it's like, yeah, this
plus,
can happen.
So I'm getting in on it for next year. Like, they do stage sponsorships and stuff like that.
Awesome.
So, like, for next year, it's really reasonable.
Pop Vox Music Stage.
Pop Vox Music Stage. You could sponsor a stage for, like, $500. And they'll include you in all the, like, marketing stuff, and I can get bands out there and... So we're making it happen. Like I'm getting totally involved for next year. So
very cool.
But it was incredible. Like we had a great time. Bands were awesome. Everyone enjoyed it. So made a lot of good connections and stuff. And then like on Friday, I did. It was just for my youth group thing. We had a few bands come out to that too. So that was really cool.
Nice.
Some local bands and stuff.
Well,
there's
a lot of cool local bands you got.
Oh, dude, there's tons. Like tons of good local bands that are playing and. We also did a thing a week before that at the coffee shop. And then on the 31st, we got Upside Down Room coming out, and they're playing out here. So
nice.
But, I mean, there's, like, lots of people coming out to these things. Like, it's again, it feels like college, like when you had a show and a bunch of people came out.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a dip for a while where, like, we could.
Oh, yeah, that definitely. I mean, that's I think it ebbs and flows, and it just depends on what's going on. And I feel like now, especially right now, people are looking for inexpensive, fun entertainment options. And plus, like, just getting out and hanging out with people and...
Yeah.
I feel like in our world where we're so, like, you know, like, insulated, like, we're insular, we're in our house on our computers and TVs, sometimes people are seeking out ways to get out.
Yeah.
Do stuff.
And live music is a great way to do it.
Yes.
Because it has the, like, movie aspect where there's entertainment provided for you, but you can still communicate with each other.
Yeah, and then there's like people with common interests and
yeah. So, live shows have been awesome. Lots of good stuff going on with that. Oh, and then in June I got another. I'm doing a thing at the coffee shop again. So I mean, it's just stuff going. So
nice.
Very cool. I also got some new vinyl. I wanted to show off some of the stuff I got here. Some new music.
Yeah.
Going a little nuts on eBay. You got
Soul Junk record.
Soul Junk. This one, I've been tracking it for a while trying
to
find.
So tell me about this one because I am not familiar with it.
Okay, this one, it's another one from the 1956 era.
Okay, so this is 5-Minute Walk?
Yes. Although,
is this like a 12-inch single?
It's a 12-inch, and it's got three tracks on each side.
Okay. So it's like an EP almost?
So like an EP, but it's like an extended remix type thing.
Okay, for what? What songs is that one?
So it's got Ill Am I.
Okay.
And they're all remixes. It's got Elevate You, and it's got 3PO Soul remix. And then on the
back
side.
I've been listening to 1956 a lot lately. It's such a good.
So good.
Because that was the most. That was the biggest band he ever had.
Yeah.
And that was their old drummer who, like, I don't. Because I know the drummer now. It's his brother Brian. He's really good. But their old drummer was amazing.
Yeah.
And he also had a DJ, like a real DJ, during that time period.
Right.
And it was still him, and then his brother was on bass and doing all the tracks still. So it was, I think it was four people instead of just the usual, like, I mean, three or even, for a while, it was just two.
Right. So it was a good era.
Well, that was 5-Minute Walk at their height, and they signed a lot of big bands. And
yeah, and it was probably, like, the height of their variety.
Oh, yeah, because they were touring with Five Iron.
They got covered by Toby Mac.
Yeah.
And then the B-side is all instrumental versions of the same songs, which is nice. Cool. So very excited about that. I got that for like $10 or something. Finally, awesome. It's been really expensive when I looked at other copies of it.
Yeah.
I also got a bunch of Velvet Blue 7-inches, which I've been trying to track. These are from like the early 90s. I got two Pony Express.
So this is like very early.
Yeah, this is 1996. I think both of them came out in 96. Two different Pony Express ones that I've been looking forever. That's the guys from Upside Down Room, Starflyer 59, Joy Electric, all combined into like kind of a super band.
Remember the time we were going to go see Pony Express?
No, we booked Pony Express.
Well, there was a time when you and I were going to go see Pony Express at House of Blues.
And we didn't go?
Nope.
Are you sure? Sure it's not another band?
I'm absolutely positive.
Well, anyway, I'm excited to get those. And then I also got a Jupiter James one, also from Velvet Blue, also 1996. Velvet Blue is like one of my favorite record labels. And then finally, I got a Spyglass Blue 7-inch. Which was on Flying Tart Records.
I'm not even familiar with...
Scattered Few. Do you remember Scattered Few?
Yeah.
It's like his side project, Alan Aguirre. He also was on an episode of Wife Swap, incidentally. So.
Really?
Yeah, like totally randomly. So anyway, I got those all from one guy, and he had... like he had put them up on auction, and no one bid on them because he had like really high starting price, and I made him an offer, and he combined them all for like... I think I paid $30 for the lot, which... For those, like, if you care about those, like, those normally go for $30 each, you know, so.
Yeah.
And then finally, one more thing I got to show off. I got to stand up and grab it. I got my Starflyer 59 cassette tapes, which I'm...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tape. I know you're really excited about that.
So, yeah, these guys are awesome. This little record label is called Flannelgraph Records.
Nice.
And they're super cool. So I'll show you real quick the cassette if you can see on the thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's really, really cool. It's all instrumental versions of their most recent album called I Am a CEO.
Which is a great album.
I also ordered from the same record company this cool, it's a 10-inch record.
I'll stick it right in there. 10-inch.
And it's two of their bands. One called Candy Claws and the other one called Mike Adams at His Honest Weight. And it's covers of Starflyer songs on the 10-inch.
That is awesome.
So, plus I got the MP3 of both of those included. So nice. I paid about $16 for that. And then they threw in like tons of free stuff, like a sampler. They put in comics. They put in like a laminated bookmark. And then one thing, which I'm going to give to you.
Where do you order these? Flannelgraph Records?
Flannelgraph Records. Like,
they have flannelgraphrecords.com?
Flannelgraphrecords.com. And they're super, super cool. Oh, another cassette tape of this band called The New Terrors they threw in there. All stuff just for free.
Two cassette tapes. Wow.
So, yeah.
Where do you even go to get cassette tapes made these days?
It's kind of there's been a resurgence in it. Like, it's kind of a thing.
That's cool.
People are doing duplication.
I don't have a cassette player. I don't even know.
Well, I got my USB
one. You got a USB one, yeah.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time, my car stereo played tapes, but that car stereo got stolen, so I don't. That was it.
Well, I got one other thing in the thing they threw in for free that I'm going to give to you with your birthday, so I'm not going to tell you what that is.
Oh.
Just a little something. So anyway, that's my new music acquiring for the last couple weeks, and it's been a lot of fun. So some good stuff.
All right.
Speaking of getting tapes duplicated, have you heard of Lathe Cut Records at all?
Well, is that I have seen some of the things that they do with those, yeah.
I think we're going to release some Popvox vinyl. I'm telling you right now.
Really?
It's actually affordable to do. And the difference is, I guess it's actually cut by hand. Instead of doing like the master plate and stuff, they just do them individually. So it's made for having short, like small orders.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than like penalize you for only wanting one or two, like they specialize in one or two, you know. So we could get 20 records made for a reasonable price. We're talking like 7 inches for around $5 or $6 each.
Wow.
And you could get 20 of them. Made.
That's pretty 30. Good. Yeah, I could definitely, I'd be definitely, that sounds really cool.
So, yeah, I've been kind of emailing around a couple different places that do them, but super cool. We need to have some Popvox vinyl, so.
Totally.
That is next. Also, I think, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but we're about to start our single of the month with Popvox Music. Did I tell you about this?
No.
I think you and I talked about it, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if we said on the show, though, but we're going to, starting this month, at the end of this month, we're going to release a new digital single.
Yeah.
And we're going to do, the first one's going to be a Valet song.
And you're doing that through CD Baby?
Through CD Baby, and we're going to do a new single each month.
Is this a new Valet's track?
No, this is a classic one. Some of these are going to be old things that just have never had a digital release.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So, like, the Valet's, because it was on that compilation. Because
it was on Our Ladies.
Which had Isley, and we didn't get the digital rights to Isley. Deal. Right. So, I mean, which it was still great, but I did not, and it was kind of early on in the whole digital music thing, so we didn't know better.
Yeah, that was, I had clued you into it, but you were still very...
Well, and it was like, you know, I mean, starting with, well, we had, you know, the next couple of releases.
It had gotten as far as, like, but that, there wasn't, it was, I had clued you into, like, making MP3s, but the far as selling, that hadn't really hit at all yet.
Right. I mean, that's what I mean.
And like, then the idea of independent bands getting on the iTunes store... We, like, I didn't find out about CD Baby and all that stuff until I moved out here. So this is before that.
So to be fair, it was early. But I'd like to give those, you know, a digital life because there's a lot of people that could be exposed to it. So some of that, we've got actually a whole new Paravel EP that we're going to release, four songs that we're going to release over 4 months. We're going to do the new Brindo Man. I figured we'd do one of the new Brindo Man songs that we do. So over the next 12 months, we'll have 12 new singles. So that's pretty cool.
Very exciting.
And also, I have an eBay auction up, so I figured I'd mention it real quick.
What are you eBaying?
I actually have two right now. I have one. It's a collection of like 50 CDs. And a lot. I mean, I actually have, I think, six Starflyer CDs, some Bon Voyage, a bunch of just a lot of really good stuff. So
is this like extras?
It's duplicates. Some of it is like stuff that, you know, I have to sell, like that I have multiple, you know, like I threw Pop Vox stuff in there or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly just duplicates and things like that. So you should look for that. It's at my web store, or my eBay user thing is Pop Vox Music. So it's easy to find if you want to check it out. And then I also am selling, I finally got around to listing my sealed original Metroid NES game.
Wow.
So, I don't know what to expect because there is definitely a little damage to the box, even though it's still sealed.
Yeah, so but still, it's a Nintendo. It's a classic Nintendo game in the box.
Right. Well, the last sold one I could find that was in better shape, but it went for like $300. So you know, we'll see. It'll be interesting. Right now, it's still early on. There's still like 4 or 5 days left, but they're each at like $12 already. So you know, that's not too bad. Multiple watchers and stuff. So, anyways, nice. Check out my eBay store, Pop Vox Music.
Nice.
And on finally, music,
go ahead.
Oh, just real quick, the last thing, my listening project update that I started last July 10th.
Oh my gosh.
We just got to Fold Zandura in the letter F. So cool. We got a ways to go still.
I just had some music stuff that I haven't gotten a chance to talk about. The new Cold War Kids is freaking awesome.
Yeah,
have you listened to it?
A little, not the whole album. I just heard like their.
I listened to the album
one song
several times on Spotify. I wrote down here track two. I think that's my favorite track. I'm not even sure. Like I wrote this a while ago, but I think track two really blew me away.
I've actually been checking out like they've really done some great interviews recently and stuff. I've been kind of keeping up on them, but
they are touring right now. They did. I was going to try and get tickets to their... They actually ended up doing two shows, booking two shows at the Belly Up here in Solana Beach.
Yeah.
Both of them sold out, like, right away.
Yeah, their that LA one I was shows, gonna go to by our house.
All of their shows are selling out, so...
Yeah.
If you have a chance, you should go, but I think they're pretty sold out on their tour.
Yeah, I think so.
Which, good for them.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I'm just... This new album's really, really good, and I'm always happy that they're doing well. It's great. Yes. Let's see. We talked about this already, but my dry vinyl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So awesome. And then I'm looking for... I'm still... once I have some more money, I'm going to be getting my turntable. I was going to get one, but then I looked online, and the one I was looking at didn't have the greatest reviews because Mike kind of warned me about there are certain USB turntables that are actually kind of crappy.
Right.
Because they do some dumb, like, preamp stuff. Or, like, not preamp stuff. That they do, like, some... Like, it's not lossless. Like, it's...
Okay.
Like, there's some compression going on.
Right.
So you have to be aware of that and look into... Just do your research because some of the really cheap ones. So, but there is really good USB turntables, and including the one that you have.
Probably look and see what it is and tell you because you could set that.
Well, I know it. I know I saw it on Amazon. Okay. But there's a couple different ones I'm looking at, like in the $100 range. So I'm still just waiting on that. And then I was on Spotify, and I found some new. There's this Spotify plugin called Any Good Music, and I use that to find like brand new stuff. Because it goes through like music blogs and it's like an index. It indexes like 50 different like sources. It's like kind of like Rotten Tomatoes for like music. So like the stuff that's highly rated on there is like usually like really good because it's like goes from what it's not just like Pitchfork telling you or something. It's like a whole meta review thing. And so I found this really cool, I think they're like some Eastern European metal band, like death metal, and they're called Kvelertak. Kvelertak. It's freaking awesome. I was listening to it like a lot. Because I think it was because I was watching a lot of Metalocalypse, but I was like, I want to listen to some metal. And so I like, because I only have one Extol CD. Some other stuff, and I was listening to that, and like I listened to some Mortification, but then I'm like, I want to listen to some other stuff, and I listened to a bunch of Death Clock that I had, but I was like, I want to listen to some other like death metal bands, and so this band, Kvelertak, was really highly reviewed on Any Decent Music, and it was freaking awesome.
Sweet.
So I'd highly recommend that. And then I was listening the last few weeks. Off of a Derek Armijo recommendation, Mike Merriman is recommending for some bands. I've heard of Amon Amarth and Dark Funeral, but Skeleton Witch is one of the better newer metal. See, metal bands have such cool names.
I was gonna say that wins for the best name of the evening.
Yeah, like metal bands have awesome names, speaking of that, well, and also, I guess I should have put this, but this whole As I Lay Dying thing is just really blowing.
Oh, gosh, yeah, that's weird. Well,
because Tim Lambesis was a friend of mine. We went to school together, and we played football together, and actually, like, I remember we went to that show, and we, he came up to me.
They opened for Steve's band.
Yeah, well, then there was also the time when we were just at a show when I introduced you to him, because he was in the mosh pit.
Right.
And,
because he was just a normal dude.
And I was like, oh, hey, this is my friend Tim, and he gave me a big hug. But that was years ago, and I guess he's had some issues, and I think it was, like, abusing steroids and some other things, and he hired a hitman to kill his estranged wife and got busted, and that happened. And it's kind of been a pretty big deal in our community here in San Diego and among the people that knew him. Like, I'm friends with all these people on Facebook, and people are just like, some people are like, there's no way, and then the rest of people are like, this is just really unfortunate and sad, because he had three adopted kids from, like Namibia, or one of those places.
Sudan. You know, innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, but, I understand that, but I also, I'm like, they're trying to say he was framed or he was like some of these people on the internet. And I'm like, when you go up to an undercover cop posing as a hitman and say, I want you to kill my wife. That's really hard. That's a pretty open and shut case.
Maybe it was like the Monty Python, like the translation issue, you know, you know, the, my hovercraft is full of eels kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. It looks pretty bad.
It does look pretty bad.
Like, really bad. It's when crazy. There's, like, an undercover cop sting-type situation, I don't know how you're going to get out of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's bad. I was just being silly.
Like, I understand that. I understand. But, like, people really are like, oh, and I'm like, you do realize that he was caught asking a undercover cop posing as a hitman to kill his wife. Like, that's not Like, how do you, what do you say to that? Like,
maybe they were at a metal show, so it was loud, and he said, she's still my wife.
Except they were at a bookstore.
But there was a metal band playing.
Yes. I don't know. It's just really it's just really nuts. And yeah. And they're a really talented band, and it's unfortunate for that band, because now that's...
Yeah, that sucks for those guys.
Yeah, because, like, now that's just going to be, like, those guys, I don't know, like, what do you do there? Do you just, like, get a new singer? But even then, it's like, now everybody, that's what all everybody wants to talk about. And they're really talented, really talented band. I mean, they're on Metal Blade. They're, like, see, I disagree with anyone who is in a Christian metal band should automatically be looked at sideways.
Yeah, so I don't.
I know plenty of people in Christian metal bands that are super cool and normal and not trying to kill
anyone's wife.
Anyone's wife, and nice people. So I don't think that has anything to do with it. But I think they're a talented band and they're talented guys. So I hope
anything, it's more just to do with being famous, like, affects
plus
anybody,
that's,
you know,
lifestyle and the money and the
that's what I mean,
like, and the touring and all that other stuff. And it seems like it just affected him in a very negative way.
Yeah.
See, so, and then this is where you get into these weird discussions, because Mike's saying, As I Lay Dying is more metalcore than metal. And that's like, okay, fine, like,
all right,
whatever.
We'll give you that. I don't have the knowledge to argue any of that. So
I don't have the desire to argue about any of
that.
They
were cool,
that's
all I know.
Brian Posehn is more metal than all of us. Yes, he is. He's pretty metal. But anyways, Derek Armijo recommendation, completely non-metal. The new Yeah Yeah Yeahs is freaking great.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
We're the Yeah 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 Yeahs. What if a band was like, we're the Yeah 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 Yeahs? But Karen O, I think, has really branched out musically. Like, she's done a lot of soundtrack work. And, like, I mean, like, going from, like, Where the Wild Things Are soundtrack and some of the other stuff she's worked on. And then this album, just really strong. And the new songs are great. Highly, highly recommended.
Sweet.
So, yeah. Why do people like Mumford & Sons? I mean, honestly, I don't know. I think they're all right, but all their songs sound the same to me. But I mean, if you like folk music, I think they're talented in that aspect. I mean, it's pretty standard folk stuff, like banjo and that stuff. I mean,
I
think
they're into that. Then you're probably,
if you're not into that, I don't think you're going to like it. And so, but I think it's for stuff that's played on the radio. I think it's just something, people wanted something different, and that they came along. And so there seems to be a very big folk audience.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a big folk resurgence these days. And I think it's just because people are looking for something different. And these are mostly people that are used to listening to, like, mainstream rock music. So anything different, like, can have a big thing, you know? It's kind of like when the swing revival happened.
Right.
Like, where a lot of people were listening to that normally wouldn't. I think it's just because people look for something new. It comes along. But then after a while, you know. So I think that's what that is. And because you have a lot of folk bands right now that are just doing really, really well. Like Lumineers. That We Are Giant. What was that band that was just on SNL? We Are Monsters or something. And they were really good.
You've heard Walk Off the Earth. They're really cool.
And just all those folk bands right now. I think that's what's – because it's just like this new – mainstream,
yeah, it's the thing,
and that's just how the music works. That's just how
rapcore happened.
That's how exactly. That's how those things happen. Is because for a while they'll play the same stuff all the time, and then the moment something slightly different comes around, then like people are like, "Whoa, okay." And you know, yeah, that genre has always been around, but it's never. There's times when certain genres just go in and out of the mainstream. You know. And that's just what that is. And I think bands like Mumford & Sons, which are on the more accessible side of those genres,
right?
Like, tend to do – that's when you have those crossover successes.
Yep.
Like, exactly. Yes, when it comes to like Irish folk bands, I'm sure there's plenty of great bands that are way more talented, but they're not the kind of bands you're going to hear on the radio.
Right.
Whereas Mumford and Sons, and that's just how it is. That's always how it's been. So I think that's where that's coming from. You know, there are just certain bands that are radio friendly and some and many that aren't.
Yeah.
And there's nothing against any of those bands. It's just the way, like, music that can be played on the radio and can be listened to by the masses is always going to do better. Always.
Right. Because money.
I mean, we are seeing plenty now because of the way where radio is no longer the primary means of distributing music. Things are changing where there is more niche audiences. There's way more opportunities for bands to be heard. And so it is a little different. That's what I like about the current scene now.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that mainstream's always going to be there. That's right. Never going away. Radio,
but there's still a mainstream.
There's still a mainstream. There is still a, you know, as Mike brought up, Mike has another good question here. A good comment. Bob Marley, greatest crossover artist ever. Because as I said, how many people can name other reggae acts?
Right.
And like reggae is not a very accessible genre. Like I don't think. I mean, I like it.
Right, yeah, but in general, unless you're on vacation in the Caribbean, most people don't listen to it.
Yeah, but Bob Marley is like widely like huge. Like sold millions of out, but like, so that's another, like, there you go. Like, at the time, people were probably like, why is this guy, like, what, like,
and I'm
who's
sure
listening?
There was a lot of, like, smaller reggae bands that had some popularity at the time, you know, like.
And other reggae bands that weren't getting attention that probably should have.
Right.
But that's just the way,
it goes.
And it's
kind of fun to watch and track, I think.
Yeah. It's always cool. And then I think it's cool when things that you like then when those bands get that kind of exposure, because guess what? That means that they're gonna play more shows, they're gonna make more records, and like they're not gonna quit because they're all poor and have no money.
Right.
Like I think that's, you know, that's just how it works.
The way.
Cool.
Shall we do plugs?
Yeah.
Bring it to a close.
Yeah. BenviewNetwork.com. That's basically where you're going to find all the podcasts in our giant web of podcasts. New shows coming soon.
Nice.
We're at work on a thing.
I'm very excited for that.
Josh is hard at work, and that's going to be featuring many of the BenView Network participants. So don't forget to listen to all those shows. Benson and I are actually recording a new Matt and Brendo's wrestling show on Wednesday.
Excellent.
So stay tuned for that. Popvoxmusic.com, BraxComics.com. So now that the site's back up, will you be publishing a new comic soon?
Yes, now I will be. There should be one. Well, definitely by the time you hear this. I'll have it all up in the morning, if not that.
But are we going to get on a schedule again?
Yes, we are. We're working on it. Don't worry.
All right. All right, Phil. We're no longer practicing what we preach, and it's kind of bothering me.
No. Well, I'm working on it. All right.
It's
been a crazy couple of weeks.
I understand it's been crazy, and also the site has been down. So,
well, and that too. So that.
But
yeah.
Now it's back. So now you got no more. You can't use that as an excuse.
But it was good for a few days.
I was good for almost a few weeks of that. Like, ugh. I was getting really annoyed at like the constant messages from Project Wonderflow that like our site has gone down. But that's how I knew it was going down.
Right.
And I could show like, hey, look, like that's a way to track. So yeah. But it was also getting, I'm like, oh gosh, what are we paying for? Like, what are we paying for? Because they wouldn't even tell us. Like we had to figure out on our own that we were getting hacked like that. And you would think like for all the money we're spending on that, they would at least be able to give us an idea. They're like, you keep suspending us, but you don't tell us why. Like, how are we supposed to fix this? And they basically were like, and they gave us, like, it was basically like, here are these links to manuals of things. And I'm like, oh my gosh. This is like when I tell customers, like when I just give them a link to a knowledge base article. this is how they feel.
It's very possible.
at least my knowledge base articles actually fix this. It has detailed steps, whereas these were just generic, like, use this command to try and figure out. And I'm like, that's not a solution, you guys. Like,
But it's all back up now.
We're all so good. We're all good. Yeah, Brendoman.com. I'd like to give props to Danny for also for his assistance and his behind-the-scenes work for all these years. I also realized we missed the 11th anniversary of Brendoman.com in April.
Oh.
Wasn't even paying attention. So 11 years. Wow.
That's awesome.
Really awesome. So super props, Danny. You can visit his blog at personman.com. And he's got some cool stuff on there. And if you like... he's a programmer, so he talks about that, but he also talks about local, like he's a councilman
in
his local government. So he talks about that. He also talks about Missouri politics cause he lives in Missouri, but he's very involved in local government. So it's cool reading about that and some of the things that he's trying to do, and just how local government works. Like, cause I was always curious, like, and some of the things are kind of boring, but it's also interesting. Like, when there's like water issues, like that's who deals with it, you know, like when they were having major sewer problems, that's the kind of stuff they like. This is stuff where you actually get to see government doing things that are worthwhile to you personally. So like, if you ever want to see your government actually working in a productive way, in a visible way, like local government is how things get done. It's Parks and Rec is real, and it's Parks and Rec. Like, it's also, and Danny even said, he's like, yeah, it's a lot like that a lot of the times. And I was like, that's kind of awesome.
That's
like,
why that's fun. So good, because it's real.
Yeah. Oh, dude, so Community got picked up?
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, I'm on the, like, I think it's terrible now.
I wouldn't use the word terrible.
It's terrible.
It's not the
last
same.
Several episodes.
To be fair,
have
behind like
been
three episodes. So.
Horrible. Parks and Recreation, though, also picked up. So hooray!
Yes,
because Parks and Recreation this season was perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
And it just
season
keeps getting better.
Incredible, amazing, so good. And you want to know what? I can't believe I'm saying this. So that last, how far are you caught up on The Office?
I'm a couple behind on all of them.
They did a double episode.
Time. Yeah.
And it almost felt like a 100% quality episode.
Really?
I think that's... because they're wrapping it up, I don't know, but they weren't really dealing with the annoying parts that I don't like that much. And it felt like almost, but it's still, they still do things. Wait, there is a certain thing that, wait, no, never mind. Nope, there's most of it. It felt there are all parts right. that felt like, but the Jim and Pam thing still
the
so
worst.
Annoying.
Yes.
Still the worst yes. thing in the world. But the rest of the things that they're doing, it almost feels like classic Office.
No, I'm good. We'll keep up on. I'm gonna finish it. You know,
I'm just ready for it to be over. Just like I was ready to say goodbye to Community, and now that it's gonna be dragging on for another, I'm like, I just want it to go away.
Well, maybe he'll come back.
Well, you know what? They're talking. Now there's rumors that they. I don't see how they're possibly true, but there's rumors. Nikki Finke said that they're talking to Dan Harmon again.
That's what I mean. Maybe he'll come back.
And then Dan Harmon, are you going to come back after they fired you?
He's got to put food on the table.
He's got lots of other things he's working on. I don't know. I feel like that'd be really painful. And then what if it still sucks?
Well, then we still have the first few seasons. So there you go.
Just watching that show is painful.
No. All right. Also,
did
on
you
plugs.
See the rope episode?
No. No, we're like four behind on that one.
Oh, okay. Like, okay. So you're probably still where I was on board. And then I forgot where it turned for me. But there was a certain episode where every episode after that, I'm like, just this is awful.
This is all awful.
And it's all sucky. And the characters just aren't the characters anymore. And it's just not funny. And it's just contrived and BS. Okay. And I hate it. I hate it. I hate it, Phil. I don't normally hate things that strongly, but it's because I loved it so much.
Well, that's why. That's why it elicits those feelings.
And now, and it's disappointing because, like, I still love all the actors and I love the characters, but they're not the characters that they, I don't know. Like, for instance, I listened to both, like Marc Maron just had Alison Brie and then on WTF, and then he had Gillian Jacobs, and they were both amazing episodes, and I still love them, and I will follow them and what they do in the future. I'm just ready for Community to be over.
Right.
Strong but it's words. Not. It got picked up. I don't understand. Because NBC is like, the ratings are terrible. And if you look at the ratings are terrible. So none of it makes sense. I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't know how they make their decisions.
I did. We talked about at the beginning of the episode, the Marin show on IFC is great.
All right. So
I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to more. So what else we got? DoritosFan.com.
Yes. Oh, I had the Tacos Locos Tacos Doritos. I don't even know which ones.
I can't find those anymore.
It's okay. Just real quick to clarify, I was wrong. It is just two types of chips mixed in the bag.
I can't find them anywhere.
But it's good, though. We found them at Stater Brothers, so I don't know.
I go to Stater Brothers. There are not – I can't find them.
I don't know. Maybe they're very limited.
Maybe they're only in weird inland cities.
It's very possible.
Because the Sligers are in Yorba Linda?
Yeah, and then we're out here.
And you're in Yucaipa. You guys are in weird places.
So yeah, potboxmusic.com. Check out that stuff.
So they're two different Doritos in the same. Is it good?
It's really good though. It's a good mix. And I think the taco one is not like just a plain old taco. I think it's like a little different, but it's two different flavors in one bag. So you got like the regular old nacho chip with like a kind of special.
So it's taco. A nacho, but it's not the standard taco.
I don't think so. I think it's a little different.
Okay.
So yeah, it's good. You should definitely, if you get a chance, you should find it.
I haven't seen them anywhere.
All right. Should we
on the lookout?
Should we pull it into the station?
We gotta end. It's 10. We were gonna.
Yeah, we're past.
We can't do it, man. Well, we're still at 1:45. It's not bad. That's pretty good for us.
You did a good job. I'm proud of
us. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. Don't forget RadioBrendo.com for all your Radio Brendo needs. And Pillagecast, I guess you guys have been really busy.
Yeah, it's been a crazy couple of weeks. So
Josh was in here earlier, so... you'll always, if you one place, BenviewNetwork.com, that'll have all
it's
the
all
latest.
It's all there, yeah, that's right.
It's all there. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for us. Any last remarks?
That's good. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out in the chat and YouTube, guys.
Thanks, guys. We'll be back on Friday, Couchcast.
Yes, excited.
So that'll be Friday night. So, yeah, we'll keep you updated on that. And thank you, everybody, for listening. So for Radio Brendo Man, I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
Have a good one, everybody.
Keeps you on the ground, it just let go too soon if you just leave it alone. It drags us all around. It drags us all around. It drags us all around. Just let it go.
This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.